You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. J. Scott Coatsworth has published more than 20 stories, novellas, and books. His newest is the start of a series titled The River City Chronicles. And these are short stories of LGBT romance and magical realism set in Sacramento. Scott's in the studio with me now. Welcome. Glad to have you on the program.
Oh, thanks. Glad to be here.
So for the number of books and stories that you've published, Scott, I am surprised that we haven't met before now. So will you give me a little of your background as a writer?
Sure. I first started writing when I was in my early teens. I had my first book that I was trying to publish when I was about 22 or 23. I sent it out to about 10 publishers, and I waited for a year. These were like the big guys, Macmillan and Random House and that. And everyone rejected it. And so I just kind of stopped. And I made sporadic attempts to come back to it here and there. And it was during one of those attempts that I kind of stopped again. And I turned to my husband, Mark, and I said, I just keep getting stopped. Like, things keep happening and I just keep getting stuck. And I was kind of lamenting and being, just being sad about it. And he said to me, the only one stopping you from writing is you. He said, if you want to do it, take the time and do it. And it was just like somebody had slapped me, So I was in my mid-40s at that point, and I had always had this idea that when I reached that point in my life, I would have more life experience. I'd know more. I'd be able to write better than I had when I was in my teens and 20s. And so I set off doing it again and started with some short stories and kind of worked on my craft, did a couple of novellas, and then kind of eventually worked back up to novels. And so that's been 4 or 5 years now. Each one come out has done a little bit better, but yeah, I'm still kind of an under-the-radar author.
But you took different pathways to find homes for those pieces, right? You pitched them differently and looked at different landing spots for the work.
Yeah, I did. My first thing I tried, because my husband was an avid MM, which is a male or gay romance reader, I went and found all the publishers that he liked and looked up what they're looking for. A lot of them were doing anthologies, and so I picked one publisher that was one of the bigger ones and just wrote a story for every single anthology. And some of them were stories that I had started before and just had kind of put in a drawer. Some of them were brand new. And my very first one got picked up by a publisher, and it was called The Bear at the Bar. It was kind of a Freaky Friday situation in Seattle. And I was sure that I was on my way, that was going to be my publisher, and then they rejected like the next three. So it was just a matter of kind of trying out different places, kind of feeling my way and seeing where it went.
Have you been learning about your writing along the way, or was the bigger lesson just to keep writing?
It's both. I think for any writer, you have to sit down in the chair, every day or as often as you can and just write. But I've learned where I'm weak and where I'm strong. I'm very strong at massive stories that have, 40 characters and points of views and things. I was weak in characterization. So over time, you work on those things. You kind of observe television and see how characters are built in TV shows and movies and things. And you read other works and you talk to people and you do workshops. And just over time, you build your craft. And I think any writer that thinks that they know it all is going to stagnate as a writer. It's better to have that kind of imposter syndrome, self-doubt, as long as you can keep it under control, because it keeps you learning.
Well, you've had some great reviews, some 5-star reviews, and like I said, now many, many pieces that have been published. Would you read a little bit so that now with that background, we can all have a sense of your writing and your writing style? And this is from the new book, The River City Chronicles.
Sure. So this book, the setup is that there are a group of characters who all have secrets, and they come together at a cooking class at a fictional Italian restaurant in Sacramento that's run by a couple Italian immigrants. And this is one of the first cooking classes they have together, and people are starting to connect and things are starting to happen. It's pretty short. Diego watched the two of them together. They both had holes in their hearts. He knew about family and broken hearts. His own mother was still alive, living with a sister in Bologna, but her mind was almost gone. It had been leaking away for years, like water from a dripping faucet, a memory at a time splashing on the sink and then running down the drain. The last time he'd seen her, she hadn't been able to remember his name. Her frail hand had rested on his cheek. "Papa, is it you?" she'd whispered. And he'd nodded and kissed her. He knew about broken hearts. "We cook these now," he said, pointing to the bowl full of rum and apples. "In a few minutes, give them time to marinate." "Marinate?" "Soak in the rum, for the flavor, the sapore." Ah, I understand. Tomorrow he and Mateo would have to figure out what to do about his immigration status. Tomorrow would be hard. But for now, it was nice just to be here, cooking in this beautiful kitchen, among family.
That's Scott Coatsworth. He's the author of The River City Chronicles and a number of other published stories, novellas, and books. He will be at Time Tested Books in Midtown Sacramento on October 4th. So put that ahead on the calendar. That is October 4th. This River City Book One, which you also call it, implies a series, but this came out of a long-running blog that you were doing, doesn't it? Didn't it?
Yeah. So if you're familiar with Tales of the City, it was Armistead Maupin's kind of love letter to San Francisco.
Yeah.
And he wrote it for a newspaper that came out once, I think, a week for the first three books. And then once he finished each story arc, he would publish that as a book. So my idea actually started in 2014 when I met a couple comic book artists, web comic artists, and they were doing this thing called The Young Protectors. It was Alex Wolfson and Adam DeCracker. And they were doing that, publishing a page a week, and then they would publish the final comic when they were done with that. And I thought that'd be a great idea for content. So I went ahead and adopted that idea and took a couple of characters from a story called Between the Lines, which is one of my earlier novellas set in Sacramento. And they're two of the characters of the 10 major characters in the book. Like I said, I do a lot of characters. Yeah.
Wow.
But I kind of just went from there and just for the first half of the book, it's 102 chapters, about 1,000 words each, about three pages. I just kind of started writing each of the stories and each of the secrets and kind of had an idea where it was going, but not for sure. And about halfway through, I said, I really have to now figure out what the endings are. And went ahead and set up all those endings and worked my way toward that. So it's 102 chapters altogether, about 115,000 words. But yeah, it came out of that kind of interesting week-to-week creative process, which kind of gave things time to gel. But because it was a serial, it also, you can't change things. You can't go back and fix things because people have already read it.
Right.
You know, where you're writing for yourself and then you're going to publish it later, you can go back and change the whole beginning or change plot lines or characters.
That's a great point.
Yeah. So you're kind of stuck in what you did, by and large.
So for the series of books, you could go beyond what you've already written. What's your vision for it?
I'm thinking I'll probably do the next one the same way. I'm debating whether to do something where it's more character focused on a couple of the characters and more intimate, maybe do some shorter length works and put them all together, or if I want to do another thing similar to the River City where it is, where kind of a sprawling work.
I'm sorry after your reading that I didn't comment that the reading in this book, and this is the only writing of yours that I've seen, it reads quickly. It actually reads faster than you read it. It reads fast on page, and you have a very, I would say, everyday but interesting style of writing dialogue for your characters.
Thank you. That was one of my strengths always. I always could write dialogue.
Yeah.
You know, kind
of
back and forth. It was just kind of, and I always could write lots and lots of background stuff, but you know, just kind of filling out the characterization and things took time.
Mm. What's your day job been through all of this?
So my husband Mark and I run a number of different directories, mostly for the LGBT community. We have a travel directory, a real estate directory, a wedding directory, and we're also now starting to branch out into doing more author support things like setting up blog tours for authors going forward. We have a romance directory as well, and we're thinking about doing a science fiction directory next year.
Where are they? What's the website for everything?
So, okay, there's a lot of them. Purple Roofs is travel, Gay Realty Network, real estate, Purple Unions is weddings, and then the other main ones are Queer Sci-Fi, which is kind of a discussion sci-fi speculative fiction group, and Queer Romance Inc. is the other big one, which is a directory of queer romance novels kind of across the spectrum.
Science fiction is a fascination for you, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
My mom, she was a member of the Science Fiction Book Club, and I read The Lord of the Rings when I was in third grade all the way through. Read her entire shelf, which, you know, most of Anne McCaffrey's works at the time, Isaac Asimov, all the classics, just was raised on sci-fi. And so sci-fi fantasy has always been my other passion.
There isn't a note in my experience with you right here across the table of you being discouraged or held back. And I know you're saying, so I get intellectually that you've been there, but I don't feel it from you here.
I guess at this point, I mean, I went to WorldCon about 2 weeks ago, and it's a sci-fi convention in San Jose that goes around the world. 5,000 people at this con, and probably half of them were writers. And I came back from that a little discouraged, honestly, because there were just some amazing people that started when I started and kept going and are doing really, really well now. There were people that just started writing last year and are up for a Hugo Award, which is one of the biggest sci-fi awards. So, yeah, there was a little bit of that, but I'm an eternally optimistic person. I can't be pessimistic for too long. I just kind of tend to bounce back. So I put my energy into going forward. You know, all I can do is do the best writing that I can do and do the best idea I can come up with and hope that that works for people, hope people like it.
Well, I think that's overriding then any roadblocks that you're hitting in my sense of you. I'll add that you were recognized as one of the top new gay authors in the 2017 Rainbow Awards, and your debut novel was Skythane?
Yeah.
And that was also recognized with awards and an honorable mention. So I think that as much as you and Mark want to support and cheer on other authors, I think every author working the way you're describing needs the support and the cheering on as well. So that October 4th event is an important one for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it's actually the very first time I will have done an official bookstore signing reading for myself. I did a couple of them for a book that I was involved in the 80s called Raising Each Other, which was about teens and parents and how they get along. But that was five of us authors and our teacher that did the book. So this will be the first time, and the first time in a long time, actually putting myself out there. And I'm hoping, I mean, River City really is kind of my love letter to Sacramento. It has a lot of the things I love about that combined with my love of Italian and the Italian language in Italy. So I hope that people pick it up and read it. I think it's got so many cool things about Sacramento. It's got feeding giraffes down at the zoo, you know, and walking through all the monuments in Capitol Park and, you know, going to play at Cap Stage and you know, eating out at Luca and Zocalo and also a bunch of imaginary places that I've created that you know, scenes are set in the place. So I hope that it finds an audience here because I think it really, this is its home.
And the Italy aspect is authentic from what you've learned and studied in language and your travels. There's a lot of language. There's a lot of culture in it, too.
Yeah. The translator that I used to translate it as I was going into Italian, and it will come out in Italy eventually, she would correct me and say, like, you know, you're putting mozzarella on your pasta, and we would never do that here. I'm like, well, we do it all the time here. She says, well, if you want to be authentic. Well, I'm like, well, this is authentic American Italian food. So, yeah, so it is. I try to be authentic in it.
All right. Well, let's stick together. And the next time you have a project coming out, make sure you let us know, okay?
Thank you very much. Thanks for having
me. I guess it'll be book two of River City.
Yeah, maybe, yes. I'm going to work on it.
All right. Thanks a lot, Scott. It's really been wonderful to meet you.
Thanks, Beth.
That is J. Scott Coatsworth. Again, he will be at Time Tested Books for his first ever reading and book signing. That's Thursday, October 4th at 7 p.m. There's more at capradio.org/insight. This is Insight on Cap Radio.